the commission, letter that's included in the bulletin this morning, I'm going to begin by just reading that letter. Dear brother, how are you? It's hard to believe how quickly time passes. I miss you, the times we used to spend together.
Is that on now? I hope you know how much you are still loved. You're in my thoughts often, as well as my prayers. Perhaps I've not always done the best at letting you know this, but I care about you. Although we may not always see eye to eye on things, I am here for you if you should ever need something. Brother, the decision to withdraw from you was one of the most difficult decisions I have ever made. I cannot overstate this enough. My intentions were always grounded in my love for you as a brother in Christ. During such a difficult situation, however, there may have been times it did not seem this way. It's hard to remember everything that was said and done, but I know I've made my share of mistakes in the past, so I probably said some things I should not have said. I may have been cold or unloving. Maybe I even lacked empathy or compassion. Perhaps I hurt you in ways I didn't even understand. All I can say is I am sorry, and I hope you can forgive me. My inconsistencies of the past may have caused some confusion as well. Admittedly, withdrawing from you was not initially my will. I did not want to miss out on the celebrations and the holidays, and so I looked for ways to cheat the system, trying to maintain as much of a normal relationship with you as I could, while also pacifying my conscience. And yet, I know from the scriptures that keeping away from every Christian who lives disorderly is God's will, as we read in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 6. Eventually, through continued study, I made God's will my own. It does not make it easy. And it certainly does not take away the temptation I have of ignoring the scriptures on this subject. Nevertheless, at the end of the day, I want to obey God. Brother, I don't know about you, but I wish our relationship could be restored. I long to be in fellowship with you once again, and for us both to be in fellowship with the Lord together. This fellowship with God is conditional, however. 1 John 1 and verse 7 tells us, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Verse 3 tells us truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Again, that fellowship is conditional. It only exists if we are walking in the light of his word. One thing I've learned to appreciate more and more in my faith is the significance of God's grace. In all of my weakness and the sins I have committed, I know it is only by God's saving grace I can be in fellowship with him. Yet God has not given us his grace so we can continue to sin. As we read in Romans 6, verses 1 and 2, sin sent Jesus to the cross and cannot be taken lightly. God has given us his grace to help us overcome sin and to teach us to live godly and righteously. Titus 2, verses 11 and 12. Brother, I want so badly for our fellowship to be restored and to once again have a close relationship with you. However, that can only happen if you repent, embracing God's grace to help you overcome sin and turn back to the Lord. Jesus gave us one of the most beautiful stories in Luke 15 about a lost son. In the story, the youngest of two sons leaves home with his inheritance, wastes it, and eventually wants to return home. When he does return, the first thing he sees is his father running to receive him. And after they embrace, the father never scolds his son. He never interrogates him. He never asks him to list all of his wrongdoings. Instead, the father simply celebrates his son's return. Brother, just as the father in the story, God is waiting for you to return to him. For what it's worth, so am I. I beg you to repent and start walking in the light once more. We can restore our relationship and we can enjoy the blessings of our fellowship once again. Brother, I'm always here if you'd like to talk. I would love to get together and open the scriptures to further study what it means to live in fellowship with God. And the Lord, and what the Lord says repentance looks like. I don't claim to have all the answers, but God's word does. Please do not take this lightly. Please also let me know if I am mistaken in regards to any of the things I've written here. I'm writing this to you because I love you and because I want you to be in fellowship with the Lord. You will continue to be on my mind and in my prayers. In Christian love, your brother in Christ. Thank you for your kind attention as I read through that. Was it as difficult to hear as it was to read? That letter was written to be generic to a point, but I will tell you, I had names written at the top of that page. People from my life that I know and that I love. I will say, withdrawing fellowship might just be the single hardest commandment to keep in the New Testament, at least for me. In my experience, it's something that we just often don't do very well in a number of ways and for a number of reasons. I want to talk about two things in regards to this issue this morning, and not that I ever try to drag a lesson out, but due to the nature of this lesson, I just want it to be very direct and very simple for us all. And so the first thing I want us to address is simply the nature of fellowship. And if you go back to 1 John chapter 1, Brother Ty read for us just a few moments ago, I'd like us to reread those verses again. I go to these verses a lot. You probably find at least one of these verses in my sermon quite often. It's one of my favorites, and it teaches us so much about what the Lord has offered us. 1 John 1, verses 3 through 7. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father. That statement alone, our fellowship is with the Father. And with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. And do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We have fellowship with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. That means we are spiritual partners with God himself. We are spiritual companions with him and with one another if we walk in the light. If you turn over for just a moment, you might want to keep a bookmark or something in 1 John 1, but go over to John chapter 8, the Gospel of John chapter 8. Verse 12 helps us understand what this means to walk in the light. John 8 and verse 12, Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus is the light of the world. And so to walk in the light is simply to follow Jesus. Go over a couple chapters to John 12. John 12, verses 46 through 48. Jesus says here, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. We should listen to Jesus and obey him because he is the light of the world and because he has given us his word that judges us. To walk in the light is simply to obey God's word given to us in scriptures. That's what it means to walk in the light. On the other hand, if I don't follow the scriptures, what's that say? If walking in the light means I follow his scriptures, then if I don't follow his scriptures, that means I'm in darkness. There are two options presented. And there always are in scripture. There's always two options, right? There's light or there's darkness. There's to be in fellowship or out of fellowship. There's the narrow way or the broad way. There's no third option. There's not. And a lot of people really try to find a third option, don't we? We try to find a detour. We try to find a path that's going to lead us to the same place, but maybe I don't have to go through the same path to get there. And that option does not exist. Fellowship is conditional. It is conditional. There are conditions that have to be met to be in fellowship. And if you don't meet those conditions, you're not in fellowship. Those who walk in the light of the scriptures, the light of Jesus' word, are those who are in fellowship with God. Back over in 1 John in chapter 1, verse 5 says, in God there is how much darkness? No darkness. None. No darkness at all. For those who walk in the light, fellowship with God is possible. Why? Why is fellowship possible? Because the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin, we read in verse 7. This is really important. Those who are in fellowship with God, you're not able to walk in the light because you never sin, right? That's not what makes it possible for us to be in the light. Because I'm just perfect, and so I'm automatically, you know, I've found my own path to be in the light. No, no, no. We are able to walk in the light because of God offering us his mercy and his grace. And because of Christ's blood that was shed for us. If you look over in 1 John chapter 3, in verse 4, it says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. 1 John 3 and verse 4. I don't think that one's up on the screen. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. The word for commits actually means practices. And some versions, some of your Bibles might say, whoever practices sin also practices lawlessness. And I really like that word practicing, because what does that mean when you practice? When you're on a team and you go to the gym or you go to the ball diamonds, right, day after day, and you run drills and you practice and get better, and you make mistakes and you learn from those mistakes and try to get better at them. And so this is the idea of whoever practices sin, you're just doing it over and over and over again, right? There is a big difference in messing up, sinning, learning from that mistake, and trying to do better, repenting of that sin. There's a difference in that, and then just continuing to sin over and over with no real effort at repentance. Verse 6 in the New American Standard says, of 1 John chapter 3, no one who remains in him sins continually. No one who remains in the Lord sins continually. Your fellowship with the Lord is based on whether or not you walk in the light or continue to practice sin. So fellowship is conditional. Fellowship is limited. Not everyone who says they have fellowship with the Lord really does have fellowship with him. And it says that back in chapter 1 of 1 John again. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Verse 7 gives us another if we walk in the light. And if a person's not walking in the light, then by default, they are walking in darkness and they have no fellowship with God. It is so important that we appreciate what it means to be in fellowship with God. If you go over to Philippians chapter 3, where we have studied recently in our Wednesday night class, Paul says, he goes through that list, right? And he tells us he's willing to give up everything. Everything he held dear and thought was so valuable and important in his life, he now says it's rubbish, it's trash, it's garbage. Why? In verse 10, it says that I may know him, that I may know the Lord and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Now you might say, wait a minute, why in the world do I want to be in fellowship with the Lord, with Christ, if that means sharing in his sufferings? But verse 10 is not the end of the sentence. It goes on in verse 11. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. To be in fellowship with Christ means you are a partner. You take part in the resurrection. And if I don't have the words to help you appreciate that any more than just the basic facts on the table. If you can't appreciate having fellowship with Christ and taking part in his resurrection, I don't know what else to say. Fellowship with God is not something to take lightly. It's something to be protected and cherished. And so what do we do then when a brother in Christ, when a Christian stops walking in the light and is no longer in fellowship with God? Now, this isn't a lesson about the withdrawal process, if you will, about you go to him and then you take a brother. And that's a lesson for another day. So we're not, this isn't like a brother sins and we just do this, right? But we have to realize if you're living in fellowship with God and another person stops being in fellowship with God, that means you and that person, you guys are no longer in fellowship. If you're in fellowship with God and they are not, you and that person are no longer in fellowship either. You cannot be in fellowship with God and be in fellowship with a person walking in darkness at the same time. Cannot be done. There are two options. Either you are in fellowship with those who were in the light or those who were in the darkness. And that choice is yours to make. And so this is why, ultimately, withdrawal is commanded. And if you'll turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, we'll read from that. Again, 1 Thessalonians says to warn the unruly, right? Withdrawal is not the first step, but eventually there comes a time when enough is enough. And when withdrawal is necessary. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 6. But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. Let's just kind of break this verse down a little bit for a few minutes. Again, we're trying to keep it very simple. We're going to work backwards. We're going to start with that phrase, every brother who walks disorderly. What does that mean? Every brother who walks disorderly. Again, we're talking about a brother in Christ or sister in Christ, a member of the Lord's church who is living disorderly, a disorderly and undisciplined life. That means they are out of line. They're out of line. They're not living in submission to God's word. It's the idea of being out of the ranks. And so for all intents and purposes, there's no difference between a person who is walking disorderly and a person who is walking in darkness. It's the same thing. If you're walking disorderly, you are in darkness because you're not walking in the light. And so we're not talking here about a Christian who is struggling with sin. really struggling, as we've discussed in class. We're talking about someone who's given into sin with no real attempt at repentance. They don't care. They're fine with this sin, and they're not trying to get rid of it. It's a person who's simply not following Jesus. And if you're not following Jesus, you're not walking in the light. You're not in fellowship with God. And so that's who we're talking about in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 6. Going backward, we see withdraw from. Withdraw from. What does that mean? The word withdraw literally means keep away from. And some versions say keep away from. It means to avoid. That's what the term means here. If you go down to verses 14 and 15, we read, "And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet, do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." I'm going to be honest, that's really hard sometimes. That is really hard. That is a hard line to try to draw, of not keeping company with someone, withdrawing from someone, but finding a way to admonish him. And so, what we see here, for one, withdrawing from someone, when the Bible talks about withdrawing and not keeping company, it's not saying that you should never speak to that person again. It's not saying if you see that person, you know, coming down the aisle at the grocery store, you got to turn around and go to the next aisle. That's silly. That's not what this is saying. You absolutely should speak to those who have withdrawn from you, right? And that you have withdrawn from, as you encourage them to follow Jesus. But at the same time, it's also not saying to just continue hanging out with this person. To continue celebrating with this person and continuing your relationship as if nothing's really changed. Something absolutely has changed. They're walking in darkness. That's a spiritual darkness. But we're supposed to set our mind on spiritual things, aren't we? Not on earthly things, not on physical things. We're supposed to see the spiritual reality in this life. And so we have to recognize that's a person walking in darkness. I can't hang out with them like I would hang out with someone walking in the light. He or she has forsaken their fellowship with God, and so the scriptures say to avoid that person. They were in fellowship. They were walking in the light. They know what this is about, and they've turned their back on that. That is a big deal. We avoid keeping company with them in order to admonish them. When a brother or sister in Christ stops walking in the light and begins walking disorderly, your relationship with that person must change. It must. When nothing changes, you give them the impression that their conduct is acceptable. And why would you ever want to lead someone on to believe it's acceptable to be walking in darkness? If we go back and look at the beginning of that verse, it says, "But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw." Command. It's not a suggestion. The Bible doesn't have to state this is a command every time it gives a command, but it states here, "We command you." Who? You, brethren. Are you a brother in Christ? Are you a sister in Christ or not? If you are, this includes you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:17 says, "Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord." In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, you and I are commanded to withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly. And so for the next couple minutes before we close, we need to consider the dangers of disobedience. The dangers of disobedience. Should we obey the New Testament scriptures or not? Do we obey the New Testament or not? I mean, if not, please let me know what New Testament scriptures you think we should ignore. Not right now. Come, but let me know if there's anything that you think we should not follow. I'm really interested to find out what you think that is and why we should not obey it. Or should we obey the New Testament in its entirety? Our shepherds would tell you we should obey the New Testament in its entirety. That's what Jesus says, right? These are the words that are going to judge us on the last day. Withdrawal is a command. We command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which you received from us. Should we obey it or disobey it? Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. One of the most terrifying verses in all the scriptures, in my opinion. I call on the name of the Lord. All of you do. That's why you're here. You wouldn't be here if you didn't. But not all who say to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. We need to examine ourselves in the light of this verse more often than we want to go and apply it to others. We apply it to others a lot, don't we? But we need to apply this to ourselves. Hebrews 10 verses 26 and 27 say, if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. I know firsthand how difficult, how heartbreaking it is to stop keeping company with loved ones, with family. But we have to be diligent, my beloved, not to let our feelings dictate our obedience. Following Christ, being a disciple of his, means you put aside your will and you adopt the Father's will as your own. The Corinthians were warned about the danger of neglecting this command. If you look over in 1 Corinthians 5, verses 11 through 13. 1 Corinthians 5, 11 through 13 says, now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. For what have I to do with judging those also who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person. And he gives us one of the reasons for doing that back in verse 6. If you go back to verse 6 of 1 Corinthians 5, the second half of that verse says, do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. The influence of a brother or sister in Christ who is walking in darkness has the potential to draw you away from following the Lord too. And don't be naive enough. Please. Please don't be naive enough to think that you are stronger than that. That you are too strong to be pulled away by an erring brother. It's happened too many times. You have to ask yourself, who is your fellowship with? Are you in fellowship with God and those who walk in the light? Or are you in fellowship with those who walk in darkness? Two last things before we close. If you recognize the need to make a change in a relationship based on 2 Thessalonians 3, we command you, brethren, withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly. Or from 1 Corinthians 5, not to keep company, not even to eat with such a one. If you see a need to make a change in a relationship, if you need any help, you just have any questions, you're like, I just need to talk about this. Please, please, come see one of our shepherds. See somebody in here. Don't just keep that to yourself. We're here to help each other, right? We're not here to say shame on, no one's going to say shame on you. But we're going to talk with you. You don't have to go through this alone. We can help you walk through this. And I will tell you, I know for my family, the support that we have received from our brothers and sisters in Christ in this issue specifically has been invaluable. Invaluable. Also, if you have obeyed this command and you've withdrawn from someone in your life, I encourage you to reach out to that person. No matter how long it's been, maybe it's just been a few days. Maybe you called them last week. Maybe you called them last night, like, hey, you want to come to services with me tomorrow? And they said no. Maybe it's been a while. Maybe it's been a few years since you've reached out to someone about their relationship with God. Can you do that by the end of the year? 2 weeks. It's a reasonable timeline, right? Reach out to someone in your life that you have had to withdraw from. And again, if you want help with how to do that, we're happy to help. That letter is printed in the bulletin. You can modify that, make it your own. You can use that to help get some talking points if you're courageous enough to go and talk to this person face to face. But reach out to that person. If you need help obeying this command in any way, please let someone know so you can find some support in doing that. If you are with us today and you've not yet put on Christ in baptism and you're not in fellowship with him yet, why wait any longer? Why wait? There's no reason to. We can help you get your life right with God. You can make that decision. You can have your sins washed away in baptism today, right now, if you want. If we can help you in any way with your relationship, your fellowship with the Lord, please let us know as we stand and sing.